Okay, it is 5 o'clock according to Apple as opposed to the school clock. So I call this meeting to order. Welcome to the June 25th School Board of Directors meeting. Since we have our quorum, everybody's here. Let's stand and join in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First up is the approval of the agenda. Does anybody have any questions or change requests on the agenda? Somebody have a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Brian moved.
I second.
Melanie seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Yes.
Unanimous. Public comment. We don't have any because you have an official job here instead of just public. So next we have the superintendent.
Well, I don't have a lot. I just, you guys will see it. They're out there tearing that apart. And yeah, I found it interesting. I didn't realize that a lot of our trim was particle board.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, no wonder.
And then so they have a cement siding that's going on that particle in place of that. So that's good. But and yeah, you're not gonna see a lot of workers because they only have so many scaffolding you can get on. They still believe they're on track. So that's really the exciting news that's being done. And have some other things that are going to be happening this summer as well. And then I just think the office has been working pretty hard on, you know, Jose's working on F-195. I just see a lot of things they're trying to wrap up and then get prepared for next year. It's been a busy last couple of weeks. So as a couple start taking off for a short vacation, it's well deserved. It's well deserved. And so other than that, I don't have anything because kids are gone and it feels good to be able to just do some work right now.
Well, it looks like they haven't found any big surprises so far taking the siding off. I mean, I saw the tie that gone right back on, so that's encouraging.
Yeah, I thought they'd find it on the side. I hope that, you know, the fact that they moved from over on the street side, Second Street side, and moved to the front doesn't mean because they're worried about what's going to be behind that Hall Gym part. But who knows? But they didn't find anything on that far side, so that was good.
That's a good sign. Okay. That's awesome.
Okay. Thanks, Fred. Mm-hmm. Next up is approval of Stuart West Fire Brigade proposal. Could I have a motion to approve?
I'll move. Motion to approve.
Ryan moved.
I'll second.
Melanie seconded. Okay, discussion. I was weirded out by the date. It says as of May 31st.
Okay, I noticed that. And updated the dates.
Uh-huh.
And so this copy I have been.
Okay.
And
unless you want to pay for an extra month before you're doing it.
Well, the payments will go into effect. I'm sorry, the payments will go into effect upon construction.
Okay.
The agreement that we struck that allows us time to go about the process step by step. We also provided in the agreement that the approval of this document doesn't start construction because the next piece is design and architecture, and I want the school board and Fred, I want everybody on board as we go about this because it's school property. It's such a pinnacle piece of property on the island, and the community is very interested in it. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure as we go through the process, we're not creating fires that we can't put out or can't address. So mm-hmm. every step of the process is going to. The next step is going to be finding and siting the exact location because we haven't really established that yet. And then architecture design, make sure everybody likes what we're planning to build, and anything, any additions or anything we want bound you after that. They're all built into this agreement so that it's your approval step by step.
Okay. Was there any thought to washroom, restroom, composting, toilet?
No, there's no facilities at this point, but the addendum Echo E provides additional, but that would just be, again, we would come back and say, hey, we want to do this or we want to do that. And that way we're not overreaching the use under the license, and it's being very thought out community as a community-wide approach, okay, again, to avoid any issues. But yeah, no restrooms. The only facility there is going to be, we had planned on a solar array for a heated facility because part of our need is to establish a heated facility because there's a fire engine and with water in it. We may just do a small propane heater because it can bring the cost way down. They have propane deliveries on island, but that's another change that we would cover when we get there. It's essentially a garage at this point, and we want it to look nice and be high quality built. So it's a legacy fire station, but essentially it's a garage, no water, no electricity.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a question. So what I'm hearing though is that on every step, so let's say you determine the exact spot before anything, before you proceed to a design, you're going to come in and meet with the board again and show them the exact spot, so we all agree
yep,
on that.
Yeah, because we're not sure where that is, and I want everyone to agree where that is.
So we're going to see you, you know, 3, 4, or 5 more times.
Yep.
You're going to join the board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We'll bring you along step by step the whole process. So
that's good. I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. We're agreeing to the license, but there's a lot of other specifics that need to be agreed upon. Before,
exactly. Yeah. And I think this agreement establishes that real clearly. So yeah. If I yeah.
step so
out
the road towards the true lease, this isn't, we're not doing.
Well, it establishes the right for them to use our property, but it doesn't give them the right choose wherever they want on the property. So
exactly.
it is an agreement in principle that we think it's best to put it on the property out there, but can become null and void if we don't agree on the spot. And they,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the difference between a lease and a license, and the reason we went down the license avenue is because we're coming and asking for use of that property. And as the property owner, it gives you more rights as the licensee.
Yeah.
Yeah, for licensor.
Yeah, the only other thing I would have is just that, you know, I'd love to be able to give you $50 or $1 a month or whatever, but I think they are going to be.
No, we increased that. Yeah, I don't remember what we, did we agree on something? I thought we were going to increase it.
I'm making 50 on the lease right now.
Was it 50 in there?
Yeah.
Because we talked about.
I want to make sure. I want to make sure it covers our costs.
Yeah. I thought I had said something about
it. You mentioned it, and I'm your Huckleberry. I'm here.
You know, I don't know.
If you think it needs to be more.
It might need to be a little more because I just want to make sure that we're covering our costs for maintenance around the building and so forth. We still have to do our landscaping and so forth. There still will be, you know, insurance on our side of things. You know, you're carrying all that. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that we are encouraging enough to cover what it costs us to take care, you know, have you on our mm-hmm. have you on the property.
Yeah, I mean, I like $50 a month, but
I, like
I wouldn't argue for, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know.
There's a margin there that I'm not going to be upset with.
Yeah, I don't have to be a lot more than 50. I'm just trying to kind of look at what it costs us to run, you know, landscaping stuff around it, you know, what we do per year over there.
Because that is pretty important, because in the end, that would be our person doing the landscaping around it. So we are going to have to increase that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm not saying that.
Unless we want to put them landscaping into the.
Well, I mean, but there's maintenance we do over there already. I mean, we're mowing and doing stuff, so we're going to have to work around this new building that's there. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's not, I'm not, again, I don't think it's a tremendous amount. I just want to make sure that we are thinking clearly about all the things that's going to cost
but
us.
But we have to take a mower over and a person.
Would it work for this board then, so we can move forward and basically keep this process going, allow Fred and I to just negotiate a price as part of your motion?
I would be fine with that. Yeah, and to this thing, leaving the lease price open to further interpretation.
Yeah, that way we can keep moving.
But yeah, I want to keep moving forward. Again, I don't want to start anything, but I also want to make sure we are.
So I'm comfortable with negotiating that with Fred, and until
I don't think it's be a huge jump up from that. I just want to, you know,
51
possible. Yeah, like 52.
5,100.
Yeah. We just solved our deficit issue.
I don't think we're talking thousands or anything, but I just in all good conscience, I mean, we want to work together as partners, but I also want to make sure we're not.
Yeah, sure. I totally get it.
If I could tag on to what John's talking about, $50 in 25 years, I'm going to be worth like $10 a month. So I'd like to see some type of escalator in there for inflation.
Wasn't there some things that after 5 years?
It's 25 years, then five every thereafter that we can.
Okay, I thought I read something.
It's 25.
Yeah, it's a good point, too.
But it's also built in that we can redo the lease, too.
I'm happy
the clause.
Negotiate that.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that's sure.
I think that point is true.
Yeah. So you can agree in principle and then allow us to
find come up with a final number
for a rent number. And maybe it's every 5 years we raise it a little bit or based on inflation.
Oh, yeah.
Just take a look at CPI or something like that.
Right. Yeah. So if the board agrees, if the motion is to accept the license agreement with addressing the dates, making sure the dates are updated and allowing Fred to negotiate a more appropriate.
So do we need an official amendment for that? I can just say with the stipulation that.
It seems to me, and Diana can kind of correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me that you can agree to this pending, the agreement is there pending successful negotiations on the license, the lease price.
Yep.
And a change in the dates.
And a change in the dates.
We go by Robbie's rules here. We're not very well versed.
No, I mean, that's appropriate. As long as you give Fred the authority.
Yeah, so as long as I think as
I've been given my authority. I've been given
that in 1 minute. That's done, then we're good to go.
Okay. So we're going to vote on approving this proposal pending date changes and Fred having authority to successfully negotiate an equitable price to cover our costs for maintenance and other things. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Yeah, aye. Okay.
No, I'm in there for about 3 days next week, and then I take a couple, 3 weeks.
I'll get this to you tomorrow. You around tomorrow?
I'm not for the next 2 days, so it'll be next Tuesday, Wednesday, the next Monday. Next week for 3 or 4 days.
I mean. Okay, I'll chase you down.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. It's really exciting.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, on to the consent agenda. Could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I so moved.
John moved.
Second.
TJ seconded. Discussion, TJ.
I'd like to separate the student access card.
Library card.
Consent agenda.
Okay. So that's our discussion now. We can do that now.
So I was reading through here. One of the things that concerns me is the student data required for these cards.
Okay.
There's nothing to prevent right now. The library has guidelines set up for students under 18 to get a library card. They're a lot less restrictive than what they're being asked to provide here. And I'm not comfortable sending student data over there, especially date of birth was one of the things listed. I think there's some generic terms like their name, the grade they're in. I'm fine with that. But overall, I think we're sending too much data their way just to get a library card that they could walk you and get on their own.
Mm-hmm. You want to speak to it at all?
Go ahead.
Okay. One of the, I can understand where you're coming from. I think part of the idea this is mimicked two other districts that have done it. That was one. I think the idea is that it's not just the grade, but that age, I think, ends that agreement between the school district or the library and the student. So I thought it was pretty limited besides the age. There's only about four things that we really wanted to submit to them that is controlled by our media specialist.
I see 8 pieces of data listed.
Okay, well,
Student full name, student ID number, school name, student date of birth, student grade, student graduation year, student email, student mailing address.
And all of those things that go over there are for the most part, they would have to give, they wouldn't give the student ID number or the student grade, and maybe not date of birth, but they would give the other information if they walked over there and got the card.
Right, and if they do that, that's fine. I don't think that data should be coming from the district. But...
Okay.
Could there be a permission
slip? There's an opt out.
There's an opt out.
So yeah, if the parent
would want that. See an opt in.
Yeah, I would not opt in.
I think they have it reversed.
That's just like that dental thing that we had a couple years ago where we decided we were opt in versus an opt out. Remember the, when the nurse came in, talked about the whole dental kind of stuff.
That's right.
Yeah,
I like to opt in. I hate when you're on automatically there and you have a voice. Right. Oh no!
Well, maybe we should have had Christy come in and speak to this a little bit and why she went with this. And so, and this still may not change your mind, but right. She could have spoke to why she wanted it. I think the in principle, it's a good idea because most of our kids aren't walking down there. And there are resources there that they can access from here even that they can't access right now. So the objective is good and its foundation. I understand your concern. I wouldn't have been concerned about that.
Is there a way that perhaps the library can come down to the school the first week that we're here and
sign up kids?
Yeah, sign up.
To opt in.
Yeah, correct. To opt in. Correct.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you, Fred. I think it's a great idea, especially the online aspects.
Mm-hmm.
They probably have access to things that they may not have here.
The problem is, though, all they could do is hand out to the younger kids a piece of paper for the kids to take home that may or may not come back because the parents would have to sign.
Right.
That would be the only drawback.
But essentially, we're talking high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
Are we?
Right now, I think it was just high school. I don't know.
Oh, I thought it was everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if they're under 18, parents still have to.
Mm-hmm. So let's do it. Opt in. It's simple. That alleviates all the other questions.
So then we should approve the consent agenda by taking out, while taking out the library.
For further discussion.
Pending further discussion.
Okay.
So I don't know if she'll be around, but I know she wanted to get things started, but we'll need to see if she can come in July and try to either answer your questions or create other things. I want to make sure I'm right when I do end up talking to our media specialist. It's really things like the birth date.
Mailing address.
Home address, yeah.
Where we come from, data is important, right? I get that. The other thing that concerns me, though, is that in today's environment, we have individuals looking for people, looking for a reason to send people out of the country. And I'm not comfortable with our district providing mailing addresses for people. I don't think that's a good idea for us to do.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because this is the things the library asked for.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see even if with Christy's discussion, if this can be, if they'll even go for it from their side.
Well, if it's an opt-in, it's no big deal. The kids have already agreed to it and stuff, the parents. Mm-hmm. It's very simple that way.
And how many on average high school kids have we got?
How many high school kids do we have?
About
250.
Okay. They're only talking 250 people. It shouldn't be that hard.
Okay. Opt-in forms are really something. Forms, period.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many things ended up in the backpack, and I worked there.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was wondering if maybe it'd be easier just for a library to come distribute the forms and then have the parents sign them and send it back.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that'd be much different than us doing it. To be honest with you, because we could sell it just as well as the library did to kids, because the forms still have to go home.
What about doing it at back to school night with the advisors? I mean, those are pretty well attended, especially for the younger grades, 9 and 10. You could have the advisors do that, the homeroom teachers, whatever, because the parents are there.
I think these are good questions, and I do think they're questions that really the media specialist needs to be here to answer, because I don't have enough. I mean, I just agreed with Kevin Cooper, our IT person, that in principle the what we're sending was minimal in his opinion, and he was the one that was the biggest had the biggest concern about the data that was being requested. I think I can't answer your questions because I don't know enough about it yet.
But I think your point about our constituency and mailing address is very valid right now. Mm-hmm. And that does not need to be floated out any other databases than we have to.
What's phone number on that list?
Email address.
The email is just our
school email.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
and they have to have a way to contact them, and that's the way they can contact
Got
them.
It. Okay.
Right.
That's different than Gmail or whatever. Like that. Yeah. Okay. So by taking out the library section, can I have a vote on approval of the consent agenda? Everybody in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. You're up, Mr. Craig. Grab a microphone from Diana on your way.
You don't need to make it up.
Well, we had another successful year, a standard year, I should say. No, nothing different as far as the successes or failures we've had with the transportation department. Every once in a while, somebody breaks a mirror and clips something or takes out a pole that has a crosswalk sign on it. But but those things happen. There were buses, and it wasn't necessarily our fault that they were sticking out a little too far into the road at the top of the bus, clipped it as a bit close. Anyway, we have 7.5 buses, 7 full-size buses and 1 half-size bus. The way we get our funding is by our student count, how many kids we bring to school and back. And our high count was 394 students on October 2nd of last year. And that was a pretty good number. Average is usually a lot lower, 340, 320, 340 for an average number. But that was a good year. I have to do the student allocation report, or STARS, where they take the high and low number from a 3-day consecutive count, and that average count is the number that we report to them so that we can get our funding from the state. So we have 5 bus routes, 4 regular routes around the island, and then 1 special needs route, and we combine that with the preschool route. Found out a little something new. We can take our preschool kids on our regular buses, but we have to have them in a 3-point harness, or 5-point harness technically, 2 over the shoulder and 1 through the legs. So we're able to put those jump seats on the bus, and they just get strapped in. They either have the older sibling help strap them in, or the driver can click them in real quick.
The driver can do that?
They can, as long as they're not going to the back of the bus. So we do it at the front seats, and the driver's not supposed to leave the bus, but they can make sure that the kid's buckled in right.
Okay.
And some of those little kids can even buckle themselves in, as long as somebody double checks it, but some can't. So we've had some kids, Rulo Road and Lawson's Road, hop on the bus and turn point, pair point, and come into preschool. So that was a fun adventure this year. We hadn't done in the past. And that's absolutely okay to do. So
that makes it easier all around for us.
Yeah, it really does. It stops those little kids from being on the bus for an hour and a half. And so we try to loop the whole island in one bus to get them all. So any new buses I order, I'll have the integrated jump seats that are, they just fold up and they become a regular seat. And I'll have the first 4 seats in the buses, those jump seats, because I only see it's getting going to get more popular that we have little kids on the buses. Mm-hmm. Those 5 routes, of course, I have 5 regular drivers, and then I have 3 sub drivers. I lost one sub driver. He's going to move to Arizona to be closer to his family, but I got a new driver trained and hired up, and he's already worked a couple of his routes, but he'll train on all the routes, so he'll be able to take over if anybody is sick or away on a field trip. My subs can step up and take that route. We drove 35,070 miles to and from school of all the routes. We did 11,125 miles for our sports trips, 2,685 miles for field trips, for a total of 48,880. We did get two new buses this year. One of them is the electric bus, and we've got some grants to help offset the cost. It was over $500,000 for that bus. And the drivers, they either absolutely love it, or they're afraid to drive it because they don't want to be the first one to put a ding.
First the ding, or they're afraid it will just stop.
Yeah. And I don't argue or push them. If they're that afraid, that's okay. They're not driving until they're ready. So that's okay. The electric bus, it required us to destroy one of the diesel buses to get a grant. They wanted to make sure it's completely off the road. So I took it up. I took a bus 06. It's not our oldest bus, but it was having some engine problems. It had already had the engine rebuild, and that was starting to fail, and it was running pretty rough, and it didn't have much life left in it. So it's a perfect one to destroy. Took it up to the Z Recyclers in Bellingham, and they crushed it. It was some cool
ideas. Was there anything strip off for you?
I took everything off that. Okay. That could have been reusable, but okay. They just didn't want that engine to be salvaged and reused. But yeah, I took a lot of the lights and reflectors and the first aid kits and the fire extinguisher, things like that. Okay.
No mirrors or.
You sound like we need to do mirrors.
Yeah, I took some.
They may or may not work on a different bus.
Though. Yeah, they're a little older than the newer buses, but I took some anyway. I still have some that can use that. There are some quirks with the electric bus that we're still working out. Some of it is just practice. It likes to roll back on the hill. So if you're not quick on the brake, it'll roll back on you a little bit. It will not start unless your seatbelt is on. And that's something new the other buses don't have. It won't start if the door's open. And in fact, one of the shortcuts some of the drivers take is you pull up to a stop. Kids are coming from the back of the bus. You start opening the door as you roll them to stop. As long as it's clear and the door's open really slow, saves you a few seconds. Not on the electric bus. You open the door, it locks the brakes up. And so you learn real quick as you screech to a stop. Don't open the door until absolutely stop. It's a safety feature, and you can't argue with safety. So.
Okay. Yeah. And we got another new bus, too, and that's just a regular diesel.
We did get a regular diesel, yep. They made a mistake on the order. When they were doing the grant for the electric bus, I had them compare the two because the grant is paying the difference. And that there are no bins on the electric bus because that's where the batteries are. So we did up a quote saying, no bins to make them comparable. But I ordered bins that go all the way through for our field trips and track and pole vaults and all the gear that goes on. But it never got on the sheet. And so they ordered it without bins and it came without bins. So I sent it back and they're putting bins in it right now. But it's a nice brand new bus.
So we don't have it in our hands at the moment.
We drove it for a little bit and then I sent it back to get some brake work done on it. It was clunking and that's under warranty, and then I had to put the bins in while it's in there. Yeah.
And that new one was a replacement for one that was totaled.
That's the one ago. That went in the ditch.
Correct. Yeah.
So that was mostly insurance paid?
I think all of it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it pretty much covered all.
Okay. So we didn't have a huge cash outlay of our transportation fund for both of these two.
Correct.
Okay.
We got some money that's going out for the electric, but we haven't also got the reimbursement yet. So if we make payment, it looks like it's going to drop, like we don't have anything in our transportation budget until you see some of that money come back.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then we are still working on relocating our buses up to the county facility off of Salt Spring up that way. They're still working on an interlocal agreement and a tenant improvement plan. They have had other projects come up and they kind of bumped me a little bit. So we're hoping to be in there before September and school starts. So they'll work on that over the summer. It'd be nice. We're the interlocal agreement. We can use their wash rack and we can use their fuel. They'll give us a fuel card and we'll just have an account and it'll be cheaper than the fuel that we have to pay the markup for. We're getting it basically at a cost. So that's going to be nice. And then a big wide spot that we can pull in and turn around and not have to back the buses up. So that's taken out a mirror or two. Backing them in by the stem building. So, yeah. But that'll be a nice way to move up to a cell phone.
Okay. So do they have an automatic waxing department?
No waxing on the buses. No. But they have a nice pressure washer, like what you'd find at the regular car wash. And they have a staircase and ladder so you can get up higher and wash too. And so my drivers were drooling over it, you know, instead of the hose in the bucket.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions, anybody?
Mm-hmm. And the electric bus seems to go through, like, charge wise, it gets around the island.
It really has. Yeah. We started off because I didn't want to put the charger in and then have to move it.
Right.
We tried the littler charger. And that wasn't doing it fast enough. So we actually hooked up the charger to the stem building. And now it charges enough. It'll charge 100% in 24 hours overnight. And it'll actually do the morning and afternoon run without being charged. But we still plug it in just in case. Yeah. It doesn't have to be, but it's better safe than sorry. Yeah.
We did have to put the amp over to run a new break or stem just to make this work.
Yeah, there was room in the fuse box. They just had to add the brakes on the condo. Yeah, down to work. Yeah, and then they'll use that for a plasma welder and stuff after we take the charger out and move it up to the new.
So we'll just have the one charger for
just the one charger. For yeah. Okay. Yeah. And if we it's set up to put two chargers on the stand. So if we decide and get someone money for a second electric bus, then we'll do that too.
Okay, anybody else? No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it. Back to work, Craig.
I've got a group out of Roach Harbor. They're gonna take their facility staff to JP's for a little party.
Oh,
that's right. Nice. I got it.
Jose, you're up. Liked it better when you guys were over there.
Oh, that's good now.
I can't.
Okay, so the final enrollment count came in, and we had a surprising little gain. The last month, and fortunately none of them were 12th graders. And we ended up the year a little bit over our budget by 2 FTE in this building enrollment. No, running start is money in, money out, so that really is irrelevant. And so we rebounded from being down 6, 7, 8 in September to being 2 over for the year. Nice. Any questions about enrollment? You see our special ed is holding steady at 17.21% this year. Moving on, if there's any questions on this page and these other funds, I will stop. If not, I will keep going. And this is the time of year where you look at that surplus deficit and it seems really scary. But there, you know, grant reimbursements are always a month behind, and including that is the fact that we're going to be getting money from Island Rec and tech levy dollars at the end of the year that will pretty much wipe out that deficit. Any questions on the May financial report?
I don't think so.
Okay. And now I will move on to the preliminary budget presentation, and I do have a printout since it was posted later today for the board and the superintendent, so you can have a copy in your hands, it might be easier to follow along than watching it on the screen.
Thank you.
Let me go ahead and call it up on the screen for the meeting presentation. When we met, going back a couple weeks now, I mentioned that things were going to change from what I presented, and they have changed. Not necessarily for the better, but this is still not something that we see as a worry at this point. You know, the deficit in that third year is a little bit bigger, but we have 3 years to address that in a variety of ways. And I think in the discussions that we've had, we mentioned what some of those things could be. So I just want to kind of go over a few things that are here that to help explain the differences between what that kind of that first look when you met with the superintendent and this look that now that we have some more concrete information. The biggest thing and that impacted that is there was a calculation error in the payroll document, that 14 million through line in blue. And I have a note on at the bottom that rather than the breakout payroll like we normally do, certificated, classified, and employee benefits, I've lumped it all into one. At the July board meeting, it will be broken out between certificated, classified, and benefits. But there was an error in one of the payroll calcs, which generated a lower payroll number than what it actually is. So that was one factor. There is also, and I don't want to sound any alarms because this isn't sounding an alarm, but we did get a decrease in federal revenue specifically, and the largest chunk was in Title I. There's a little bit of a dip there that we found out just last week. The state had said use current year numbers, and then when the preliminary numbers came out last week, there was a drop. There was also last week notification that the school nurse corps funding decreased by 9%. That's state money. The state decreased the nurse corps funding by 9%. So that's reflected in here as well. We also had one more staff member to the budget between then and now based on a potential anticipated need. That could still go away, but that it was contributed to an increase in the budget between the first time we met and now. There's also, I had to increase the TK, the transition to kindergarten budget. The monies there are very specifically required to be spent on only TK. It's not like a lot of the other funding that we get. You just spend it how you need to spend it, and you get the money based on an allocation model. With TK, the money they give you for TK, you have to spend in TK. So in order to balance the revenue, I had to increase the expenditure line by 30,000. And so now I'm in the process of identifying costs that exist that can be legitimately charged to TK to fine-tune the monies that we're actually spending on TK. Right now I've identified about $10,000 or so that we'll be able to allocate to TK that we didn't because we didn't have to before. And I'll look for more between now and August 31 of 2026. So that will help close that gap a bit. And then the final item, if you look at the local tax revenue, so with the legislation, our tax base for this upcoming year is $3,013,000. We'll be collecting on the 2025 base, the last 4 months of the year, And then on that larger base, the first 8 months of next year. So that's why the 25-26 tax revenue is a little bit lower. Then I put the annual amount in the following 2 years, because with the new levy, that's what I would say the low end of what we will be able to collect. And the reason I say that is there's going to be about a 3.3% increase each year in the local tax levy. And I've not reflected that here because if there's a drop in enrollment in the cohort, that's usually about 2%. So with a 3.3% increase in levy ceiling, we should still collect a little bit more than $3 million. So if our enrollment, and our enrollment has held better than we had anticipated, it's actually, Spring Street School kids keep dribbling in. So enrollment could be a few FTE higher, but even if it drops a little bit with our cohort projection, I anticipate that it will still probably be at least 3,013,000. If enrollment continues to grow, then that could be 3% higher if the enrollment holds to today's enrollment. So that is about, and I'm not saying this to like, oh yeah, we're going to have to collect more money, but it looks like that additional potential amount, if enrollment holds, is about 90,000 a year. So there's a lot of, like we mentioned in the first time we discussed the budget, there's a lot of factors, and some out of our control and some within our control, but there's a lot of things that could help us close that gap before we even start to address changes within the school district. We'll let that sink in for a minute. And while that's sinking in, are there any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, additional director reports. Anybody have anything, TJ? I thought we might have something or not. Not this time.
Nothing really.
Okay, okay. John?
I'm good.
Brian?
Oh, I'm okay.
Melanie?
I just wanted to, I had the honor of attending graduation and handing out diplomas, so I just wanted to provide some recognition for the high school staff and Andrea Hillman. They did a great job. It was an amazing graduation. I also wanted to provide recognition to the dozens of community organizations that provided scholarships for students that will be attending four-year universities, trade schools, community colleges, going on missions for their church, and even just staying in town and working in hospitality. There were over $400,000 in scholarships given out that day. So I just am incredibly proud to be part of an organization that treats their students with such respect and celebration. So thanks to the community and the staff for everything.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a huge honor.
Can you get your way up for next year too?
At least for one of them.
The board did receive a letter from a and he had one valid point. I'm going to send it to you, Fred. Did you even get it from Joel Clark?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, he had some things that we do wrong. It's all wrong. But one point that he made was that not everybody gets a scholarship, and it's great that we have the recognition, but it could potentially make the kids who aren't getting any kind of scholarship feel poorly. And it does take up a lot of time. And I was thinking maybe we could talk about possibilities of maybe putting the awarder's speech into part of the program, as opposed to having them come up and read it. Just other thoughts, and I'll sit down and talk to you about it too, and then you can decide whether you want to present any of it to Andrea, because it isn't really our purview as a board. That's an administrative task, not ours, but I thought we should pass it on. And I also wanted to ask you, should I respond to this guy saying that's what I'm doing?
Yeah, you can tell them what your actions are going to be.
Okay.
But it also is
something to start a discussion.
And I think an opportunity to maybe correct his understanding as well, because his understanding was it was all college scholarships, and that was not the case. So I did forward that mail to Katie, who is in charge of graduation. And so she is aware and was going to share it with Andrea.
I think that's key. The discussion, you say you had a discussion with me, but it's really, that is an administrative decision, especially at the high school level, and that you will make sure that this information gets to her. And
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. On to a review of calendar. You had a change, right, Diana?
One of our speakers are coming in. The primary speakers come in that night, and meeting with the admin on the night of the 20th.
Right.
So.
I think we talked about that last time. Yeah, we did.
It still says Spokane.
Seattle.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, I was going to Spokane.
I'd rather go to Spokane.
I like Spokane. That is the night before the first day of school.
We're probably willing to hear.
It depends on how long of a contract is signed. You know, if you signed a 10-year contract or something, which they may have done. Okay, anything else, anybody? I call this meeting adjourned at 5:45.
Right, so this is, gotcha.
When is that?
July 30th.
Okay, the meeting's adjourned at 5:45.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.